Good morning, Western Wisconsin. Let's see what we're up to. Welcome to Spectrum West. 16th day of January already, 2014. A little more precipitation, just to make it more interesting. Thanks, Mother Nature. Today, correspondent Jim Oliver takes us to New Richmond in the voice of Kathy Welch, executive director of the active Old Gem Theater in New Richmond, for a look at what's being prepared for their stage. Speaking of stages, we'll spend time with Patrick Grace. He's the general manager of the Performance Center at St. Mary's University, a West Wisconsin across the river neighbor in Winona, Minnesota. They have a vigorous schedule as well. Our old pal, Lemoyne McLaughlin, calls in with news about a writer's forum this Saturday evening at the Northern Lake Center for the Arts in Amory. He'll read us a couple poetic pieces from his fourth book, A Verse, about to be published. And the guest portion of this adaptation of Spectrum West begins here. 35 have gone before, and Cabaret 36 is about to carry on the tradition at UW-Eau Claire. It's a big deal. It's a lot of work, and the enjoyment both on stage, backstage, and in the audience is well worth it all. The theme is bookstore, and you're about to learn why and how that is within a conversation I shared a couple days ago on campus with Dr. Gary Schwartzoff of the Choral Department, who recently returned with the Singing Statesman from a trip to Portugal. And they now have to catch up. Is this the biggie? Is this the granddad? You have some big choral events.
There are a lot of big productions here. I look at there's really four or five main big productions during the year. And this is, many of them are scheduled in the fall semester. But from the standpoint that there are six ensembles represented in this production, Concert Choir 1, Concert Choir 2, the Singing Statesman, Women's Concert Chorale, the Jazz Program, and the Orchestra, this is a big deal. We have about 130 students involved in this production.
Oh, so it's not just choral groups.
No.
There's some jazz ensembles?
Well, there's a full orchestra that goes
with
this.
There is, okay.
So these are all original arrangements that the students do. So, yeah, the orchestra is of primarily jazz musicians on all the wind instruments, percussion, keyboard, and then we have a string section as well.
Is that the most unique feature of Cabaret, is that it's student-produced?
Well, yes, I would say so. There's two primary components to why we are interested as a faculty in Cabaret. One being the educational component, for there are nine student directors working with these various ensembles. Ooh. So it's a hands-on experience of them to work with students, and it's preparatory for their music education career. That's the educational component of why we do this. Secondarily, it's to raise funds for student scholarships. This year there are 16 scholarships going out in the amount of $700 to each.
So tell me about the theme, bookstore. Where is that also an original creative thing from students, or what is that?
Well, it's we work in the theme. For example, right now we're talking about what the theme might be next year. So we have eight performances coming up. There's cast meetings for each of those performances. We sit the students down and ask for their input and record that information. Then we take a few weeks off from Cabaret, and in February we'll get together with the student directors who are interested and hash over the themes for next year. As for a bookstore, that's pretty much the process it came through. You know, the theme for Cabaret is always how do you keep it broad and wide and interesting at the same time, if possible. This year, I think it's quite hopefully interesting to the public. There are some 12 categories in bookstore. It's like when you step into a bookstore and you're looking for a book about biography, you would go to that section. That's the essence of what this is. The student directors, once chosen, sort of manifest, if you would, or flesh out the theme as to what all the various sets can be. Mm-hmm. And this year, as you can see, the categories are health, romance, cookbook, self-help, religion, travel, action-adventure, biography, science fiction, horror, fairy tale, and graphic novel.
Sounds like a game show. Sounds like you're asking me which category I want.
Sure. And, you know, the program moves right along. It's roughly a two-hour music variety show. Every 7 minutes, we're on to something else. So if this one set is not one's cup of tea, well, there's something else just around the corner.
And so all of the selections within these categories get chosen how?
In this case, 8 choral directors. There's 4 choral groups, 2 directors to each group.
Okay.
And each of the directors has his or her own set. So let's say a female director is working on one of these sets and a male director another. So what they do is once we've chosen what their category, shall we say, is, for example, like health, they submit 5 pieces that we would consider for the show.
Okay.
We sometimes lose a piece in copyright search, so if they select 5 pieces, we'll go with the first 3 that they're most interested in, and then we'll plug in number 4 and number 5 should we lose one in the process.
And the tunes are matched to an ensemble. That's a good orchestra song. Let's have the
orchestra. It's more thematic. I mean, if you're going to do horror, for example, as we have here, it opens with a song by Alice Cooper. He's Back, Man with the Mask, or I Put a Spell on You, or Disturbia. We also focus on trying to get music over a number of decades. So, you know, since the students here are all in their late teens, early 20s, they're going to focus on things in their lifespan. So we ask them to always give consideration to 40s, 50s on up to try and get music that represents a variety of genres, not just all pop or rock and roll, and also over a period of time, just to keep as much variety in as possible. That's a challenge in a theme like this. I mean, if you're doing a genre show, then someone does country, someone does pop, someone does jazz, someone does R&B, whatever it might be. Challenges when we do things like this is to get us over a broad perspective for the audience member who sits there.
Mm-hmm. We're sitting in his office at University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire. There's a blizzard outside. This is Dr. Gary Schwartzoff with us, and we're talking about Cabaret 36, and it starts Thursday evening and runs for a couple of weekends. Other than the obvious wow factor of being a lot of participants, is there also a visual component to the show? Is this a huge production visually as well?
It is staged, choreographed. We go to, you know, this is held in the new Davies Center in the Ojibwa Room, which is a lovely, beautiful setting. There's no stage in that room, so there's considerable technical aspect to the show in terms of we build the stage and the rigging and the lighting and all those things are brought in for this. In addition to that, the choirs themselves or the small acts are all choreographed, staged, so there's dancing with all sets of music, and even the solo acts will have a small ensemble of dancers or singers that go along with that.
Lots of rehearsals, I'm guessing.
Well, yes, we started in the last Sunday of October. They would like to start sooner, but I hold them off till then so they would have the time to focus on their academics as much as possible and not take too much of their time. So they start the last Sunday of October for about 6 weekends. They've met for 2 hours to learn all the music and half the choreography. Then starting on Sunday of this week, the second set has been choreographed. And so the time this week is on blocking, on stage, and, you know, polishing the show up, working with the orchestra daily.
Well, was it a little tough for the Statesman to be in Portugal and have this coming up as well? There's a little bit of tap dancing around that, I would think.
Perhaps. Probably more for the director than the students themselves. But, yeah, it was an interesting trip. Beautiful venues, lovely people to perform for. It was really a lovely experience in Portugal. One which we had planned for a long time and chose that country for lots of reasons, cultural reasons, financial reasons. And we had an additional stay on the tour due to weather in New Jersey, but got home 3 days later. And I think the guys are happy to move on to, a new genre.
Well, just another example of, what good ambassadors students are for the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire and how widely they cast their net.
I hope that's true. And Women's Concert Chorale, indeed, is also traveling to Ireland this spring. So.
Wow.
So, yes, we're out there trying to make music happen and learn more about our world in which we live.
That's impressive stuff. Are these things that people reach out to you for, or you reach the other way and say, look what we have, do you want it?
It's pretty much the other way, yes. I mean, in the case of these two tours, by Women's Concert Chorale and Statesman, they're all they're each tours that are customized to us. I mean, the director has approached the tour company, and they would like to perform in these particular venues.
Okay.
They would like to have this interaction with the local culture, maybe doing a concert with a choir locally, all those sorts of things. So they're self-designed to meet the needs of the director of the ensemble.
Mm-hmm. Now, back to cabaret. This isn't something where you just walk in and sit down. You can... Literally, there are some amenities tied to this. You can have dinner, you can have hors d'oeuvres, you can have drinks.
Sure, there is the option, as you say, to do that. There's a dinner on Friday and Saturday night mm-hmm. for each of these shows. If you wish to come a couple hours early and eat dinner with your family and friends. Also, during the show itself, there's food is available at the table, and drinks as well. So the seating is, as we say, cabaret style. So they're seated at tables where they could have food during the show and drinks as well, or, as you said, the full dinner on Friday, Saturday night. In addition, one of the things we're doing this year is during the intermission, which is 12 minutes long, we're going to present a video montage of Cabaret Past.
Ah, cool.
So dating back even to the first couple of years, we found some video. Obviously, we can't do every year, but we're touching on every 4 or 5 years, let's say, at least one small act, and all the various groups are represented from the early years up to last year. For the patrons, during intermission, they can mingle, talk, watch, you know, these mammoth screens on the sidewalls.
Neat.
So they'll be able to see what has happened over the years.
That must have been 8 or 16 millimeter film.
Well, the quality of the video varies widely, shall we say. And we apologize in advance for that aspect. And we tried to, we were going to send it off thinking some video production company could enhance it.
Sure, yeah.
Not so. It's pretty much what we got here.
Well, there's no need to apologize for the technology of the past or its absence. Let's put it that way.
Very good.
Thanks very much for being with us. No, actually, you're not with us. I'm with you in your office. And thanks for the hospitality.
Thank you, Al. So it's good to visit with you.
Cabaret 36 starts this evening, Thursday, runs Thursday, Friday, and Saturday evenings this week and next. Plus, there are matinee performances at 2 p.m. both Saturdays, the 18th and 25th. Tickets at the University Service Center in Davies Center. It's open from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Friday and from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. Saturday and Sunday. Phone orders at 836-3727 or toll-free at 1-800-949-UWEC. This is Spectrum West.
Support for WPR comes from Wisconsin Credit Union, offering home mortgage applications online, as well as information about the process, payment amounts, title insurance, mortgage insurance, and more. More at wisconsincu.org.
Spectrum Memo, Friday, it's jazz and wine at the Mabel. The Mabel Tainter Center for the Arts in Menominee. Music by Roxanne and Friends. Doors open at 6. Music cranks up at 7. Well, we've been getting news of what goes on at St. Mary's University in Winona, Minnesota for quite some time, and we've mentioned the shows and concerts and exhibits over time. But now it's time to actually dig a bit deeper into their experience. St. Mary's is a very active arts campus, one that works with and involves the entire city of Winona, an arts and entertainment arrangement not unlike what one finds on this side of the Mississippi River in places like River Falls, Menominee, and Eau Claire. The GM of the Performance Center, the St. Mary's Centerpiece, is Patrick Grace. And to get all the background of what goes on, it's good to know the man, so here's my conversation with Mr. Grace, the 27th season of the well-known Page series, and more about a very vibrant arts location, and it is right in our neighborhood.
I've been the general manager of the Performance Center here at St. Mary's 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, I was in Elk River, Minnesota, executive director of the Elk River Arts Alliance. I also ran the Pump House Regional Arts Center in La Crosse. I'm originally from Milwaukee. Lived in Wisconsin on the Mississippi River for a while. The arts are very well supported on this side of the river. Winona is a great town.
You obviously have managerial skills. Do you have an artistic background as well?
I do. I'm not a visual. I'm a visual artist, not a performing artist.
I see. Okay.
So I, and that's one of the things I when I came 6 years ago, our lobby had these blank walls, and since then, about 4 years ago, we started having changing exhibits of local and regional artists on our lobby walls, which adds another element to us as an arts center for the region. From the beginning, they have always looked to bring in the best they could find, world-class, regional, national, and we've continued that tradition, a very eclectic mix of series. We focus a lot on, we offer opportunities for families to engage in the arts. We try to provide affordable events like this Thursday's Dr. Kaboom, definitely aimed at families. We have a school matinee series that we work with the regional schools both on both sides of the river. We get some support to help keep the cost for schools down. We can't do it for free, but we try to keep them very low to encourage schools to get involved. And all of the artists, all the companies that we work with, have some sort of, normally have some sort of like activity booklet or a pre-show guide or a post-show guide that we share with our educators so that they can prep their students before they come to an event.
Mm-hmm.
And then our season runs September to, it depends upon the year. The paid series ends in February because we have so many events going on, school-related, university-related arts events. But we started a series called the Off the Page, which are individual tickets for events that we host and support around town. This year we have a Quebecois group, and we're going to be hosting them at the Minnesota Art Museum.
Say that name again.
Detemptan. It's Detemptan.
Wow.
And that's March 14th. We're actually looking to connect with French Canadians and Francophones in the region because much of what they play, we think people of that background will really appreciate. It's a lively and engaging group for anybody, but we're especially looking to, you know, the French teachers and the French Canadians that have migrated this way will be able to connect.
Sounds that way, yeah. And thanks for bringing up Dr. Kaboom. He's been on this show. He's he was fun to talk to, but what he does is tough to get across on radio.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But we were successful.
Very visual.
Yeah. Cool guy. Well, yeah, and that just points out the diversity of what you present there. I read a very involved mission statement surrounding the Performance Center. You guys really take this place and its impact very seriously, don't you?
We do. We believe that being here 27 years has really influenced the way Winona has grown as an arts destination with all of the summer festivals and now winter and spring festivals.
Sure.
But we've been doing that a long time, and we've made it available for the general public as well as our university community. And not only that, since I've been on board, I've also identified that reaching into the community and creating other connections with other arts and cultural organizations are important. So a few times a year, I work with the Winona County Historical Society, and we do programming connected to that. Last fall, we had Christopher O'Reilly, an NPR host. He played at the History Center for a lunchtime show. And then Susan Werner, and this spring we'll have that French-Canadian group, Detemptan, do a presentation, a conversation about their heritage and their history as part of our outreach into the community.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also do some things at the public library called gatherings at the library, opportunities to either do storybook reading or arts and crafts related events connected to upcoming events mm-hmm. on our stage, so that we're looking to find ways we can connect in the community, not just from our stage, but into the big stage of the community.
We're talking on the phone with Patrick Grace. He's the general manager of the Performance Center on the campus of St. Mary's University. And that, of course, is in Winona, Minnesota. One can see, Patrick, that the arts are a vital part of St. Mary's and the Winona experience. And I noted that the university goes all the way back to 1912. Does the arts and its involvement go back that far? Or is it just a 27-year thing with the Page series?
Our building was built 27 years ago. However, the university has had the arts as part of their mission for many years before that. At one time, it was an all-male campus, so male choirs. I'm trying to remember if they had a We just celebrated our centennial. So I'm blanking on when the transition took place, but I know I see alums come through, and they're all like, I can't believe this building. You know, we used to have to perform in this little place over here, and it's so much better. And so I know that the theater has been a big part, and the music department, of course, has been here as well. And, of course, we have visual arts.
So there are art and theater and music majors at St. Louis?
There are, yes. We have about 60 theater majors and minors, and I'm going to say about the same for music. And that's music education as well as music performance.
You mentioned the off-the-page series and off-the-page venues. I'm looking at least six of them. You perform in a church. You have a recital hall whose name I won't try to pronounce.
It's a Figlio.
Good, okay.
Yep.
The other ones I think I can handle. But there are galleries and art center and a couple of theaters and a recital hall. That's the Italian name we just attempted. I also saw a funny quote. Many GPS devices have difficulty locating us correctly.
Is that still on our website?
That
I'll
is
have
still
to
on your website.
Tweak that a bit. But it is a funny thing. You would end up in the middle of a field if you were looking for the performance center. And so we may have addressed that issue. We put that out there just so people don't rely too heavily, because we are not right downtown. We're situated up on the hill from downtown Winona. So.
Somebody told me once about, maybe you've heard the legend, of a guy who landed a plane on the football field once to impress a girl.
Wow, that would have to be a long time ago, because we don't have a football team anymore.
Yes, I know, but you should look into that.
Well, I'll ask about that.
That could be the theme of a play, come to think of it. It was the gentleman who did it, who told me the story.
Oh, well,
yeah.
I hope that she was duly impressed.
I think she was. I don't know if she became his wife, but
it was worth a date anyhow, right?
Yeah. And you have clever stuff there at St. Mary's. I noticed the name of your newsletter. That's pretty clever. You've got the SM at the beginning of Smarts, which is for St. Mary's, of course, and then Arts at the end. That's neat. Can anyone subscribe to that newsletter?
They can. There is a link on our website, pagetheater.org. And you could just sign up, and we'll make sure that you get on our mailing list. And we also have it available as a download from our website in case you like to look at it electronically.
Mm-hmm.
Our website is always up to date. We also have our Twitter and Facebook feed on there, and which tells you that we also have those. So that's available for viewing as well.
Well, Patrick, I appreciate you taking the time with us, and I also appreciate you keeping us abreast of things that are going on at St. Mary's. We get regular emails and releases from you, so keep that up if you would.
Okay.
And
not too many, I hope.
No, not
just the right amount.
Could never be too many. Yes.
Oh, well, yes. We all can relate to that.
And we encourage you to keep up the great work at St. Mary's. It's kind of an icon. Here's the deal. Western Wisconsin is just laden with things to do, places to go, people to see and hear, and it's an amazing artistic part of Wisconsin. I mean, I come from the eastern side of the state, and I guarantee you the people over there have no idea what's going on over here.
Well, we'll keep it that way so we can have our special little feeling of family over here, right?
That's good, yeah. And you're one of the nice things about Minnesota. That's what we're thinking about you, just so you know, okay?
Oh, good.
All right. Thanks, Patrick. We appreciate the time, and again, keep in touch.
Okay, thank you.
Lots of information at smumn.edu. Good neighbors and great reason to cross the river now and then to St. Mary's University in Winona. Also, far western Wisconsin, a little bit north of Winona. At the Phipps Center in Hudson, there's yoga for youngsters on 6 Wednesday sessions through February 19th. Our Town will be produced at the Phipps January 17th through the 26th in the Black Box Theater. That begins tomorrow, Friday. The Barley Jacks perform in concert Saturday evening at 7:30. Enrollment is open for ceramic studio classes and workshops. There's also beginning and intermediate pottery on the wheel class beginning January 27th. A 6-week clay class for kids 7 to 12 also begins January 27th. And there's a workshop called Creating Assembled Forms coming in February. That's all at the Phipps. Thephipps.org is their website, and the phone number is 715-386-2344.
8:05. On next week's show, we'll have Anastasia Sharton. She's the visual arts director at the Phipps, to talk about some very artistic benches that are already built and some more being built in various locations in the St. Croix Valley, and how they're linking the communities. And there's going to be a trail come this summer, so that's kind of neat. Thanks for being with us. This is Spectrum West on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Here's what's on stage in Western Wisconsin theater venues. The Roaring Twenties, a production of the Barron Spotlighters, will play through Saturday at the Barron Area Community Center. The Chippewa Valley Theater Guild production of Steel Magnolias will play through Sunday at the Grand Theater in Eau Claire. Our Town, a production of the Phipps Center for the Arts in Hudson, will run from January 18th to February 2nd. Performances will be given on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays in the Black Box Theater at the Phipps. The Eau Claire Children's Theater's Dinner Theater production of Till Death Do Us Part will be staged Friday and Saturday at the Oxford Theater in Eau Claire. Tickets must be purchased in advance. The Neillsville area players are hosting the Missoula Children's Theater production of The Secret Garden. Performances will be at 3 and 7 p.m. Saturday at the Neillsville High School. The Red Barn Theater of Rice Lake is holding auditions for the 2014 season from 9 a.m. to noon on Saturday in the Fine Arts Building on the campus of the University of Wisconsin-Barron County. The 53rd season of the Red Barn will open May 28th. The season includes Don't Hug Me, I'm Pregnant, The Sunshine Boys, Footloose, Foxfire, and Sweet Surrender. The Eau Claire Children's Theater is holding auditions for A Chorus Line Sunday and Monday at 5:30 p.m. Auditions for Kids Cabaret will be held at 5:30 p.m. on Tuesday. And that's some of what's happening in live theater around the region. I'm Jim Oliver.
Don't forget the What It's Worth Antique Appraisal event coming to the Ellie Phillips Memorial Public Library in Eau Claire Saturday, beginning at 10:15 a.m. Observers are welcome to schedule an appraisal appointment, which is necessary. Call 839-4834. Well, I don't know about you, but I haven't had enough of Jim Oliver. The pride of New Richmond, from a theatrical sense, is the Old Gem Theater, and it's the focus of today's Oliver Account with Jim Oliver and guest.
Beginning Monday, the Old Gem Theater's Young Performers Ensemble of New Richmond will begin rehearsals of Pinkalicious the Musical, which will be performed for school groups and the public. Pinkalicious the Musical is based on the picture book series by Victoria and Elizabeth Kahn. Joining us to talk about Pinkalicious the Musical and the educational opportunities it offers to young people is Kathy Welch, who is Executive Director of the Old Gem. Kathy, welcome to Spectrum West.
Thanks so much.
Well, first of all, let's talk about the educational side of all this. What happens beginning on Monday when the young people show up at the theater?
Well, the kids come to the theater after school. We start around 4 and we go till about 6 o'clock on the evenings that we have rehearsals. And it's an actual class. The kids take pay tuition to come and take the class. And for the first week or so, we do some introductory sort of work, getting used to being on stage and starting to work with their voices and movement and that sort of thing. And then we hold auditions, so the kids have the experience of going through that whole audition process. And we use the auditions then to figure out who's going to play what role. So all of the students in the classes do get to perform in the show, and we always make sure that every role is is a speaking role and is important to the show, but we have to figure, we have to make decisions about who's going to be in what.
Do you have to do some rewriting in order to get everybody into the show if you have too many kids, basically?
Not so much rewriting, but we do have to adjust. Sometimes there'll be a character that will be shared between a couple of characters. We just did a performance of Annie Jr., and there's a character in there who we turned into twins to create a few more opportunities for kids, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, Pinkalicious, the musical, actually, the performances don't start until the end of February. So, but tell us what it's about, anyway, for kids who are going to be showing up on Monday, what they can look forward to.
It's a really fun book. It's been out for a while, and a lot of the kids have read it either at school or with their parents. And it's about a little girl, as you would gather from the title. She absolutely loves the color pink. And she just goes crazy with everything in her life, pink, pink, pink. And she stuffs herself on pink cupcakes and eventually turns herself pink. And so then the rest of the story is about the adventures she has in trying to rectify that. And the moral of the story is about, you know, self-control, all things in moderation.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. We're talking about Pinkalicious, but as performances are way off for the play, there's still something going on at Old Gem. Three Billy Goats Gruff is opening next week. So tell us about that show.
Absolutely. We have two types of shows that we do for the school groups that come to see things. And one is like Pinkalicious, where it's all kids in the cast, young actors. And the other type of show we do is like Three Billy Goats Gruff, where it's all professional adults that are the actors in the show, but they're performing it for a young audience, a younger audience than Pinkalicious. Actually, it'll be for mostly preschool. And this type of show is an audience participation play. So the audience helps the actors tell the story. So with the Three Billy Goats Gruff, every once in a while the actors get stuck in telling the story. They need a few extra characters, so they ask for volunteers from the audience, and then the audience actually gets to help them move the story forward.
Now, you said they're all adult actors. Do you have an acting company, or do you do auditions for this as well?
It's kind of a combination of both. We do have a company, and there's a little bit of turnover from year to year, so we'll once a year or so we'll hold auditions to add new actors to our company, our acting pool. The Three Billy Goats Gruff, we have three actors in that, and we've got two returning actors who've been with us for many shows, and we have two actors that this will be their first Old Gem show, so keeps it fresh.
Uh-huh. Now, there are special performances for groups and also public performances. Is anything special offered for school groups in addition to just sitting and watching a play?
Absolutely. We have, once the kids have seen the play, we also will offer, if the teachers are interested, they can have a talk back where the actors will come out and answer questions and talk about the play that the kids have just seen. We've also done tours of the theater after the show. We'll take the kids through so they can see what happens backstage and downstairs in the dressing rooms. And we've also done workshops with groups where the actors or directors or sometimes writers will come in and actually do, you know, teach a mini class to the schools that come to see the shows in acting warm-ups or theater games or, you know, a whole variety of topics having to do with the theater.
She is Kathy Welch, who is executive director of the Old Gem Theater in New Richmond. She is ramrodding the auditions and rehearsals for Pinkalicious the Musical, which starts on Monday, and then also the play The Three Billy Goats Gruff, which is actually opening next week.
Yep.
Well, last year at about this time, we talked about the Old Gem production of I Never Saw Another Butterfly. And that was a show about a very serious topic, the Holocaust in Nazi Germany. And ever since then, I've been kind of wondering how that went. How was that? How did the students react to that?
Yeah, you're taxing my memory, having to remember back a season.
I know when it's over, and you forget about it.
Exactly. You know, actually, it went very well. I remember being a little bit concerned with that one because we had some younger groups coming to it. Generally, when we do a show, we often do shows about the Holocaust because it's a topic that a lot of the students study when they get maybe fifth, sixth grade and into junior high and even high school. But this year, or this past year, for I Never Saw Another Butterfly, we had some younger groups coming, and we were a little concerned how the third and fourth graders were going to be able to handle that. And the teachers, of course, did a wonderful job of introducing the subject, so it wasn't brand new to them. But we had one group in particular, and I think they were third graders. They might have been fourth graders, but they were on the young side for the topic. We had a talk back with them after the show, and I just kind of threw the floor open to ask if there were any questions. And one hand shot up right away, and the question was, "What does the word perish mean?"
Mm.
And what they were referring to was there's a scene in the play where one of the Nazi guards comes out, and it's a very theatrical moment. He's in a spotlight, and he's reading off the names of the children that perished. So it was, a name, how old they were, perished at Auschwitz, and then another name, how old they were, perished at Dachau or whatever. And that's when, for me and for the actors, it really hit home that, oh, my goodness, the kids don't know what perish means. How do we let them know? And then, when we did talk about it, just the air getting sucked out of the room and the kids realizing what had really transpired and that it was a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it was poignant, definitely.
Yeah. Do you write your own material? Do you where do you get your material for your show? Some of the shows you repeat year after year, which seem to be very popular. So
right, it's a combination of things. I Never Saw Another Butterfly is a written script. Pinkalicious is Pinkalicious the musical is also a written script. So those are shows that we purchase the rights to perform. Many of the other shows. I write a lot of the scripts and do the adaptations. So The Three Billy Goats Gruff, for example, is one that I've written. This is the third time that we've done Billy Goats Gruff. And I tweak it a little bit depending on the actors. And sometimes we have to update jokes and that sort of thing because we do it every 5 years and the new group of kids have different frames of reference.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, for sure. Well, you want to talk about when Three Billy Goats Gruff is going to be performed and when the public performances might be?
Sure. This one we offer to schools anytime between January 23rd and February 21st. And the way we handle that is when school groups call in, we find a day that works for them, and then we schedule a performance. So we don't have performances necessarily every day during that period, but it is available for teachers or group leaders to call in and reserve. And those are matinees during the weekday. And then we do one weekend of public performances, and that'll be Saturday, January 25th. We'll have a 10:30 a.m. matinee on Saturday morning. And then on Sunday, January 26th, we'll have a 2 p.m. matinee Sunday afternoon, and the public is welcome to come to those.
Well, we have been talking about Pinkalicious and Three Billy Goats Gruff, and I know you're well into the current season. What else is coming up after Pinkalicious?
After Pinkalicious, our big spring show we're going to be doing this year is Charlotte's Web, and that will be happening in May and June. Our spring shows are usually really popular because that's kind of a very popular time for schools to do their field trips when the weather gets a little bit better, so we're looking forward to that one.
Now, where do you find your actors and directors and technical people and all that stuff?
For the actors, we hold auditions for the adult professional actors. We hold auditions for those, and we put notices out. Many folks come from the Twin Cities, but we also have actors that are in the area that just kind of keep their ear to the pulse of the theater world to find out when our auditions are because we set out notices once a year or so. And then in terms of our teachers and technical people, those are usually folks that are theater professionals that live in, in the area of New Richmond.
Do you ever take your productions on the road?
We absolutely do. In fact, this fall we took some of the shows that I've written. I refer to them as the three animal plays because we've got the Three Billy Goats Gruff, we have the Three Bears, and we have the Three Pigs. And we took those to the Bryant Lake Bowl in Minneapolis and did those on some Saturday mornings, and that was a lot of fun.
Huh. Well, we've been visiting with Kathy Welch, who is executive director of the Old Gem Theater in New Richmond. To get more information about what's happening at the Old Gem, Three Billy Goats Gruff is starting up next week, so you get performance information at www.oldgemtheater.com. Kathy Welch, thanks so much for coming back to talk to us.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Support for WPR comes from the University of Wisconsin, Barron County, a freshman-sophomore campus in Rice Lake, offering UW academic quality with a personal touch. On the web at barron.uwc.edu.
Little Marienthal in the background there as Spectrum West continues on a Thursday, the 16th of January. Also welcoming our Friday evening listeners on the News and Classical Music Network, where Spectrum West is repeated at 7 o'clock Fridays. Thanks for being with us. There's a Friends of the Library book sale next weekend, Friday and Saturday, at the L.E. Phillips Memorial Public Library in Eau Claire, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. each day. An exhibit featuring the work of John Meyer and Don Smith will be on display at that library through February 14th. There's a reception this evening, if you're listening Thursday, at 7 o'clock. The exhibit is viewable during regular library hours, and again, the website is ecpubliclibrary.info. Don't forget, Friday night, it's the Green and Gold Legends event featuring Packers greats Dave Robinson and Bob Long. 90 minutes of entertainment and information, video, graphics, conversation, questions from you, the audience, the whole nine yards, which is just short of a first down, if you think about it. Tickets at cvca.net and by phone at 726-9000. Sunday at the Heidi is Ballet Folklorico and Trick Roping from Milwaukee, a stunning demonstration by dancers in elaborate dress celebrating the culture and the art of Mexico. Mexico, you know what I mean. Hey, every now and then we need a dose of Lemoyne McLaughlin, the guy who helps put the Northern Lakes Center for the Arts on the map. I mean, Amory, Wisconsin is already on the map, but there's another map of places well known for giving us music and literature and theater and haggis. Yes, haggis, that's coming up. But for right now, let's focus on the literature. Saturday evening, it's a writer's forum. Okay, it's dubbed an evening of original stories, poems, and essays read by the authors, as published in Northern Lakes Soundings. Tell me about the history of Soundings.
Yeah, this is, I think it's number 46.
Wow.
We have been publishing this for twice a year since, I think it's 1992. And it's local writers, original stories, poems, and essays, and they're always a great delight. It was really as an outgrowth of our Northern Lakes Writers Guild.
Ah, okay.
Which was started when the center was started. It took us a couple years to get it going, but it's a publication by the Center for the Arts.
Okay, and Soundings are, if people remember, what? Isn't that a Mark Twain-y type of...
Well, that's a good question.
Yeah, Soundings are depth things, aren't they?
Right. From Webster's Dictionary, the depth so ascertained. And the third meaning is a probe, test, or sampling of opinion or intention. And that really fits us well, I think.
At first there, it sounded like a colonoscopy.
There you go.
A probe or a test. Okay, so we're going to hear something from you because you're a poet, among other things, but who are some of the other contributors?
Let's see, how many contributors do we have in this issue? We always have about 8 to 10 contributors. Some of the others are Jane Yonker, who lives over by St. Croix Falls. She has been published in several areas. Jeannie Murphy has been around Amory forever and has published all over the place. Jerry Brown is a marketer who now lives over by Stillwater. Carol Morfitt Wells. Brian Beadle is a former executive of one of the local banks. Judy Iverson. What would I say about Judy? She walks her dogs around our lake every day.
That's notable.
Don Hansen is one of the employees at Northern Lakes. He's been with us from almost the beginning. I mean, those are the kinds of people who have contributed here.
So the Guild.
It's pretty much that people just show up. We actually, unlike a lot of writers' groups, we don't discuss the material that is presented on a particular evening. What happens is we have the author read it. We make copies. And then people take it home for the month. We meet once a month.
Uh-huh.
And they take it home for the month and reread it and study it and analyze it and think about it. And then next month, when we get back together again, we discuss the material. What we found early on was everything that we read was wild, wonderful, amazing, great, beautiful. And that got to wear thin very quickly.
Oh, sure.
So now we take a little more time to do the review.
I've always wondered, every time I've spoken with a writer, most specifically poets, their work seems to come from a deeper place, or it's imagery, or it's something like that. I've always wondered if it's best to just take your first reaction to a poem and say, okay, that's the rating I'm giving it. It knocked my socks off, or it didn't do much to me. Or is it only fair to analyze something? I mean, is there a certain kind of between-the-line reading with poetry?
Well, that's a good question, Al, and I think is an issue that we could discuss for the entire program.
Well, let's do that sometime.
Well, that's a thought.
Yeah.
I lean toward... Well, first of all, your first response is in all probability a legitimate response.
Uh-huh.
On the other hand, poetry does require time for a little bit more thought, perhaps, than prose.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, there's some statistics. You know, the National Endowment for the Arts did a study a while back and found that only 12% of American readers read poetry. 88% at that time did not. They did a follow-up study about 5 years later and found that that 12% had dwindled to 8%. So 92% of Americans do not read poetry. Robert Bly has said that if you sell 2,000 copies of a book of poetry, you're a national bestseller. You know, compare that to Harry Potter or 50 Shades of Grey. People don't read poetry anymore.
Well, you're one of those guys that hopefully will sell 2,000 because...
Well, my first book has sold 1,000, so I'm halfway there.
You're almost, you're a half bestseller.
There we go.
Okay. Well, tell us about your fourth book.
Yeah, I'm just finishing up my fourth book of poetry. It should be published within the next couple months. This book is a little bit different. My last book consisted of 50 sonnets relating to Shakespeare's plays. This one is for some reason focusing on the seasons, and I'm going back to narrative poetry. Contemporary poets don't write many stories. There's a lot of talk about how important story is in our lives, but poets don't tell stories anymore. And I'm trying to at least investigate the possibility that maybe we should go back to telling stories in poetic form. And they're part of what's in my new book.
So is that important to be a different kind of poet with each thing you put out? Is it not good to be the same kind of poet all along?
No. In fact, I think I'm the same kind of poet. I mean, there's a certain style. Style is the personality of the writer being reflected on the page.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you can do much to change that if you're being honest and straightforward.
Sure. Well, it was interesting when you were talking about taking poems in and spending time with them. I mean, it's almost a digestion process, isn't it? I mean, it's
absolutely.
It's like either you're getting a three-course meal or you're getting hors d'oeuvres.
That's right. And it takes time, and there's no substitute for the time, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what are you going to recite for us today? We're looking forward to that.
These are two poems that we're publishing in this issue of Soundings, and they're also two short poems that will be in my new collection. They deal with February. I thought that was kind of appropriate for our time here.
It is.
The two poems are titled Two for February. The first one is February Dawn. First light of February dawn delivered one last stretching yawn and blinked his bloodshot eye of red, his slumber gone. Sunday sneezed twice to clear her head, her frozen bedsheets smoothly spread, and not some graceful lightfoot fawn stumbled from bed. That's February dawn.
Uh-huh.
And February fog. This foggy February night films into chaos, clearest sight. No compass points an open route, only a wall of white. Faith wrestles certainty from doubt, which slinks somewhere to sit and pout, and curse that pompous acolyte so shamelessly devout.
Very nice. I feel like I'm in February already.
All right.
Is that your style? You like to inject rhyme into what you do?
You know, I've gone back to that. When I first wrote many years ago, I wrote everything in free verse.
I like it. I think there's a certain challenge to that.
I agree. Even beyond that, T.S. Eliot has said that if you're really honest, you have to admit that most free verse is nothing but badly written prose. and I think he's right.
Yeah, and a lot of free verse is stuff that you can get lost in. It's like you're in a corn maze. You have to go back.
Yeah.
You have to go back a little bit and see if you made the right turn. But that's a personal taste. I mean, I don't think poetry, for me anyway, the more work it is, the less I enjoy it.
You mean the more work to read?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The more work to read.
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
I also think that the elements of music and magic are key to any poem. And if the music isn't there, it's probably prose.
Ah, yeah, that's a good way of putting it. I like that. Well, people can look forward to hearing more of Lemoyne's stuff and other people from the Guild at the Northern Lakes Center for the Arts in Amory. And it is Saturday. It's called a Writer's Forum. Begins at 7:30 p.m. As always, Lemoyne, it's a pleasure.
Thank you, Al. Same here.
All the information you need is at northernlakecenter.org. This is Spectrum West. I'm Al Ross. Who are you? Whoever you are, thanks for being with us. Hey, you know, folk singer Sue West, resident of the Spring Valley area, assembled a passel of friends and fellow musicians to release the CD
Words of a Friend, in 2013. We'll be reaching out to Sue to talk about her latest recorded venture and what's on her plate these days. In the meantime, why don't we taste a sample of something from the CD? This is called I Could Not Melt Your Heart. That's right.
I could not melt your heart. Try love as I may. I could not hold on to your hand. Why did you go away? Come, love, take my
little bit of Sue West there from her latest CD, Words of a Friend. And if I can figure out how to get a hold of Sue, we'll have her on the program in coming days to talk about the CD and other stuff she's up to. That was called I Could Not Melt Your Heart. That's good stuff. Hey, next week on Spectrum West, we'll bring you news about some very special benches and how they are connecting the communities in which they sit and on which the communities sit. We'll have some special music from a special brass trio. The Eau Claire Chamber Orchestra is tuning up for another concert, and even more. Don't forget, Winter After Hours, the snow-based social, continues each Thursday through February 27th at Boyd Park on Eau Claire's East Side Hill. That's just off Main Street. You can check the website, volume1.org, for weather-related updates. Lately, we need those, don't we? I'm Al Ross. Thanks, Jim Oliver. Thanks, Tiffany Coggins. Thank you guys for listening. We'll do it again. Don't forget the Friday repeat, News and Classical Music Network, 7 o'clock. We'll be back next Thursday at 10 a.m. Have a great weekend and beginning of the week.